to my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Sing, holy, holy, holy. Bless you. Amen. I'm glad to know that He is holy. And by that, I'm holy. We're going to sing a song if you don't mind. No, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to sing. Y'all be seated. That's a good question. I said, that's a good question. We don't know. We're going to find out. And we'll all know. We're going to sing number 163. I'm going to try this in the spiral book. It's called One Day. And if y'all are surprised I'm up here, so am I. I found out this morning, so. The Lord knows all things, and He takes care of us. And I was praying all day I was going to get here on time, because that's the way things are. You plan on doing something and everything else gets in the way. So, yeah. But thank the Lord everything worked out. We made it. And I've done something I've never done before. I fixed an air conditioner and a necktie. I made it home in time to get ready for church and go to Richard and Anna's and fix their air conditioner. So, praise the Lord. And make it here on time. So. Number 163, here goes. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing my sins, my Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down for His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me. Buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Amen. I'm glad that he has risen. Amen. 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 You all can stand. Let's all stand by looking to the scripture. Because he lives, I can live also. Amen. Amen. We're going to look into scripture. We'll get into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just speak a little bit tonight, and y'all just pray for me and just been doing some reading on some things. And Sister Gail came up the steps and told me I was going to do a great job tonight. So I was like, thank the Lord. That makes you feel good. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads and we'll just pray and then read our scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord. Father, we just thank you for what you've done for us and what you've made us. Lord, realizing it's not us, but it's what you've done for us. Lord, we can't do anything for ourselves, but it takes you. And Lord Jesus, we stand here as examples of what your grace and mercy can do to a person. And Lord Jesus, we just pray tonight you just come and speak to each heart and each life. Just help us get out of the way. Lord, just meet each need. Lord, for Sister Dale in the hospital tonight, Lord, we just pray you just come and touch her. And Lord, for each one that's not here, whatever the needs may be, Father, we know that correction begins in the house of God. And Lord Jesus, I need that more than anybody. Lord Jesus, just, Lord, as Brother Branham saw the vision of the bride saying, get in line, stand in line, walk in line. Lord Jesus, that's our desire, is to get in line with the Word. Lord, as the prophet was speaking of in the uniting time and sign, talking about the bride is uniting with the Word. And what is she getting ready for? She's getting ready for the rapture. Lord Jesus, we see we don't have much time left, and we just pray that you'll just help us. Lord, just minister to each one in a special way. Come and anoint my lips to speak and ears to hear. Lord, we give you all the thanks, the honor, and glory, and we believe it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that watereth and he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Amen. May have your seats, Lord. Add blessing to the reading of the word. And just trying to figure out exactly how the Lord would lead, but I just want to speak on there from verse 9. It says, laborers together with God. And just been doing some, been reading, and if you read the, Brother Branham said that Corinthians was the book of corrections, and if you've done any reading in the book of Corinthians, they were an interesting bunch of people, and I was reading some things and reading some commentaries and different things. And, Paul must not have never had a dull moment with the Corinthians, because they always had some kind of issue going on. And there was they was all messed up with something all the time. And he was all the time trying to straighten them out. And, the Ephesians was the group that he was able to bring a lot of things out of the scripture and teach them and show them a lot of great things. But the Corinthians, he was all the time trying to straighten them out, because they were all confused. And the many different times, even in this chapter 3, you'll find out, you go back to the first two chapters of the book, he goes back to this same thing, and he's rebuking the Corinthians in the first two chapters for the same thing, because he's speaking of them having divisions among them. You look at these things and you say, boy, that was a tough crowd that the Apostle Paul had to deal with. But what struck me was God allowed that to happen, that you and I would have this word. Because we were in the same place, because we were confused too. And because it came to us, because we were in confusion too, because if it hadn't been written in the scripture, and we look at this group, though, they're all confused. Well, we were all confused also. And because you look at it today, and there's still a lot of people confused. We're still trying to get over all the confusion, because that's the way the devil works, is he works through your confusion, because he wants you to be confused. But we see here that he's speaking of being carnal, and speaking of them being babes. And just a few things, the Apostle Paul covers different things in this chapter. One, he talks about them being babes and not being able to take the strong meat, but still being on milk. And he said, are you carnal? You're still carnal after all these things. And you see there's a few things he talks about. And the other one he talks about was that the bride, the body, is supposed to be working together in harmony. And he sees that you see all these divisions. And then he goes back on, and later on you see where he gets into it, and he starts talking about a foundation, because he said as a wise master builder, he had laid a foundation. And then when he gets on later into the chapter, after he speaks on laying a foundation, he goes and starts speaking on, he said, ye are the temple of God. So he goes on, because and we'll try to get into some of these things, but I want to speak on, just see how the Lord leads it. But there's certain things in this chapter that really stand out to me. And the first one is, when he's speaking, he said, you're still on the milk. Because he goes back even in chapter 1, and he comes out, and because he's speaking in chapter 1, he says, in chapter 1, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, and everything ye are enriched by him. This is chapter 1, verse 4. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind or lack and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking of what they have in front of them. Because he said that he's given you these gifts that you might not lack. But he said, but you're still carnal. He said, you've been given this great gift, but you're still carnal. And see, even when he comes into chapter 2, he's even still speaking of them, talking about them being in a carnal, again, a carnal condition. And, you know, he talks about in one part where he said he was glad that he didn't baptize but just a few of them. Because, you know, he said, because people would think that he baptized in his own name. And he said he was glad that he didn't have any baptism with any of them, because he didn't want to have anything, because they were so confused. And so he's speaking here, and he's speaking of that a spiritual man, because they were supposed to be spiritual people, because they were supposed to be coming off the milk. Because even in Hebrews 5, Paul writing and speaking of, he said those that are unskillful in the word of righteousness, because they're still on the milk, because they've not come to the place where they can discern. And so, you know, that was the thing. That was Eve's problem, because Satan told Eve in the beginning, he said, you'll know good and evil. The problem was she couldn't discern between good and evil. And so that's what it is it takes the word, because the scripture says that, you know, there's a way that is right, that a man think is right, but that way is death. So a lot of people can think, but it takes discernment to know what's right and what's wrong. Because if without discernment, you never get anywhere. Because if without discernment, you can't figure things out for yourself. Because that's what has happened around the message with a lot of people, is they tried to figure things out for themselves. And you see that because it comes to naught, just as Gamaliel told them about Paul and the Christians, you know, he said, leave it alone. He said, leave it alone, because he said, if it's of God, it'll come to pass, because God will use it. He said, if not, it'll come to naught. Right. And we see that's what has happened to a lot of people, is it's come to naught. Right. Because people have put their faith in something for so long, they've wandered in this thing for so long, and it's become to naught. Right. They've come to nothing. Right. And that what, because now is the time of manifesting. It, you know, because you've walked around for so long, but now is the time it has to be manifested. Right. Because, you know, I have... And, you know, I just use myself, because that's the only measuring stick I have, is me. Right. Because I look, you know, why is that that I've walked in the same way for so many years? But you know what? I see that I'm overcoming. Right. Because, you know, because it doesn't what the devil tells you. It's not what comes before you. It's not those things. I am an overcomer. I know that I'm going to overcome these things. Why? Because I know, why did God bring me to this place? Why? Because he has a perfect work, because he began a good work, and he's going to finish it. Now, the problem is Aaron Roberts gets in the way. And I got a lot to get in the way. A lot more than the rest of you. Amen. Just like Brother Dale said, take more rapture and faith for me than the rest of you. But see, God has began a good work. But the thing is we've still got to hold on, and we've got to yield ourselves, because we are the ones that are trying to work things out. And if we see it comes to naught. But if we come to this place that we can see who we are,
that's it.
Say, we're coming. We've got to get off the milk. And good milk is good. Milk's wonderful. I hadn't had supper tonight. I had a glass of milk. And it was good. But I'm ready to go get something to eat. I'm ready to go get something to eat. Because I can't live on just milk. I like cereal or a little milk on it. But see, it takes more than milk. But Paul was saying, he said, there's strong meat. There is greater understanding.
Amen.
But he said, you're not able to bear it. He said, you've not been able to bear it.
Right.
He said, it's been before you. And see, he's speaking to them, I'm trying to get to you to a place that you can see there's more in front of you, because you've got to grow. You've got to grow. It's time to grow.
Right.
And if we can't stay in, this same place forever.
Right.
Because we've got to come. Because if we don't come to the place... And I understand that everybody's not going to come to the place of a body change. But you know what? There's some people that are.
Right.
And some people are not going, and because some people are not going to come to that place because they're going to stand in their own way. Because there's going to be, because it's not that there's a lack from God, it's a lack from them.
Right, exactly. Right.
Because, you know, Brother Branham was saying, you know, that's what caused it. I have this quote here, you know, Brother Branham talking about our misbehavior in Ephesians parallels Joshua. You know, it's an amazing, you think about it. He said, your misbehavior of unconfessed sins of you believers, he said, can cause this church to bitterly fail. Can you imagine that? That's one person. Can you, and you think about Achan. Because of his own greed. Because of his own selfish desire. He had blood on his hands. Because of his own selfish desire. And he thought, well, this won't matter. It's just a little bit. I wonder what it was like for his family to stand out there for every one of them to be killed. It wasn't just Achan that died, it was his whole family. They destroyed everything. You think about that. He said it's our misbehavior of unconfessed sins.
Right. Amen.
That a church can bitterly fail.
Right.
Brother Branham said that one person, that we can stand in each other's way.
Right. Amen.
That we can be the one to stand in somebody's way of them being healed.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's right.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think about, I was reading, I believe the message is led by the Spirit. And you know, Brother Branham was speaking of the woman that had committed adultery while her husband was gone. And you know, she almost got hit by the train. And she was, you know, she was in such a nervous wreck. She was, you know, all tore up. And you know, Brother Branham was talking about all the times that, you know, she'd been in all these different meetings and they'd poured oil all over her. And they had prayed and prayed and prayed. But you know, Brother Branham said that Satan has a legal right to stay right there as long as there's unconfessed sin. He said, you can pour oil on them by the gallons and pray all you want. He said, Satan still has a legal right to stay right there. And you know, Brother Branham said, he said, I was not going to pray for that thing to come off because he might have gotten in trouble. He said, so I'm not going to pray. He said, because I want to find out. He said, because she'd been to all these other ministers. And she'd been to all these churches and everything that had been prayed over. And she never got any better. She just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Until she came before Brother Branham. And then he saw in discernment what her problem was. See, that was the thing, because the Word is the discerner. And so that's the thing. Is you stay around long enough, you'll find out. Because he's going to discern what your problem is. And you know, the thing is you can stay right there. And you can turn it down, or you can accept it. Because you have to, because it'll come out and you'll find out, but you'll burn your conscience. You'll see your conscience from that. And people have done that. But you know, you come to that place, and you know, just because he'll show you the things that are wrong in your life, what you need to take care of. The thing is, but you hold on to that. Because, you know, I've seen things in my life and say, why can't I get rid of that? You keep going through that battle, but there's a time appointed unto you for you to get victory over that. Because if he's going to bring that out, he's going to show you what you need to overcome, then guess what? There's a time of victory coming. You have to come to that place because he's obligated to it. Because I can't do it in myself. But if I give it to him, he's obligated to for me to overcome that. So we have to come to this place that we can overcome. So going on here, Paul speaking as he's
speaking of them being carnal and them having these divisions, walking, being carnal, and he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Right. Because he says, one says, I'm of Paul, one says, I'm of Apollos. And he says, who are they? Who is Paul? Right. Who is Apollos? Was you saved by Paul? Was you saved by Apollos? He said, no. He said, because one, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but he said, God was the one that gave the increase. Right. He said, because, see, we're all working, having to work together. Because the bride is to work together. Because, you know, as Paul was speaking, he says, if, you know, the whole body can't be hearing, or the whole body can't be smelling.
Right.
Because each one of them has their own part. And, but he says, but who is this one? And because he said, we are laborers together.
Right.
We are to labor together. So if God has a plan and a purpose to take place, then each one of us have to work together.
Right.
Because just as one can hinder, just as you can stand in somebody's way, you're the very one that may be the one to help someone through.
Right.
As I believe it was, you know, the lady, the brother Ram was telling the story about the lady that had the, I think she was rented a barn or something and had a meeting, and there was only one person, the preacher came in and preached, and only one person got saved. And it was D.L. Moody. And, you know, everybody was saying, well, you know, that was a pitiful meeting that they had. She spent all this money for a meeting.
Right.
But you know what? That, from that one man,
right.
You look at what took place all around the world. What an evangelist D.L. Moody was in the work that he done. And some people say, well, that was just, you know, you look at that and they say, well, that didn't pay much dividends. But you know what? You can't measure the dividends that came from that meeting eternally. Why? Because of what he was able to do. And so sometimes we look at things and we say, "Well, it don't matter much. It matters more than you can imagine." See, if we could see it, as Brother Randall was speaking of in the church, he said, "You know, you see the angels are in the building and they're sitting on the pews and everything. You know, it's sometimes we just overlook those things, or sometimes we don't ever consciously comprehend those things when we come to church, that we're sitting in the midst of an eternal God. You know, as Brother Brown was, or Brother Dale was preaching on of the Shekinah, you know, he said, you know, when the Word came in and everything came into its place, then the Shekinah glory came down into the temple. You know, we don't realize, but the Shekinah glory, you know, we don't comprehend, but that same Shekinah that came down in that temple is in you and I, because he came into each one of us. So guess what? When he came down, and you know, he was, he couldn't minister because he was in the midst, and it was so great. Do you know you carry that same one with you? And you came in tonight, each one of us having our own lick of fire have come down, and the Shekinah glory is here. But we just look and say, well, this, you know, it's just Brother Aaron and Brother Wade and Brother Anderson. We just, you know, it's just us, you know, same ones we see all the time. And we've missed who's here.
Right, right.
See, sometimes we don't see what is taking place. We say, well, it's just Brother Dale, and he's just going to get up, and, you know, we're just going to see the same few songs, and he's going to get up, he's going to pass out quotes, and we're just going to read the underlined stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to make a few comments, and then we'll go home. And sometimes we fail to see when he underlines things in the quotes. You know, sometimes you have to go back and read the whole thing, because if you read the whole quote, the things that he has underlined just steps off the page at you, because you actually miss what's really the real emphasis of things, what is being said, if you're not reading the whole quote. But I mean, he's just trying, because you know, he don't have time to read everything. I mean, so I mean, he, you know, we all, I think everybody has been to school long enough to read, so I mean, we can do that on our own.
Right.
But I mean, if you see the things that is that Brother Dale's given us, because if we see he's ordained of God to lead us through, and he's, I mean, he can't do much more than he does.
Right.
The only other way would be to supernaturally just open our heads and pour it in. Sometimes, but wish. But see, as Brother Dale's been preaching on, see, you've got to come to that understanding.
Right.
because you have to have your understanding opened. Because, you know, you look at Brother Branham, you know, and I was reading some of the, I can't remember what message I was reading, but anyway, he was talking about, you know, Sister Meaty, well, you know, he got up and the angel of the Lord was in the room, and, you know, he's dealing with different things that he was going to have to go do, and you know, Sister Meaty's trying to talk to him, and you know, he's in this other realm, and she's trying to talk to him about, you know, do you want some breakfast or whatever? And the angel of the Lord's, and she said, well, I knew he was in the room because I could feel his presence. And, you know, he's in this other realm, and he's thinking about all these things, and the Lord's showing him things, and she's trying to talk about feeding the kids and doing laundry and all these other things. And here's the angel of the Lord trying to talk to Brother Branham because he's going out to do things. And sometimes we miss those things because, you know, we say, well, that was just the prophet. No, he's come to do the same thing for you. Brother Branham said that, he said, a child of God can come to such a place. You can live in such a realm that the devil don't even know what to do with you. But we think, oh, well, that was for Brother Branham. That's for Brother Dale. No, that's for the very weakest Christian. That's because that is the children's bread. That is a right. That is a, because you're an heir, so that belongs to every heir of God. That you can come to that place. That you know, you see how things go. Yeah, you're not going to live in a bed of roses. It's not going to be great all the time. But you know what? There's an overcoming. Because you can walk in a realm. See, Jesus... You read, Jesus walked in a realm of perfect faith. It didn't say he lived in a realm of perfect life. There's no such thing as a perfect life in this world. Because Brother Branham was speaking of, in questions and answers, you know, he says, as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. Because you've been raised up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you come to that place, you know what? You're still going to battle this old flesh. Why? Because you're still in this realm. And Satan's still got a punch coming at you. But you know what? You've got to come to the place that you've come to the place where you're recognizing that you're living and walking in heavenly places and not living in the realm of the world. Because you know, sometimes you get out on a job and everybody says, well, you know, they call you and they tell you, my air conditioner's doing this, my air conditioner's doing that. It won't do this, it won't do that. And you know how it is, you come out there and work on it. Runs perfect. Hums perfect. Can't find nothing wrong. Well, I know it's messed up. And you go out there and start praying, Lord, what's wrong with this thing? And it's just sometimes it's just like being magnetized. And you can be drawn right in and find things that you don't see. Just like Brother Donnie talking about working on cars. You say, what is that? That's the Lord being mindful of us. That He can point things out to us. See, we think that, well, that's just simple things. I thank God for the simple things. That's what I look for when I can go out and pray and say, Lord, you know, help me with this and help me with that. And I know it was Him that takes care of these things because you can't find things, but He can point them out to you. He can show you what's wrong. He can give you the answer. See, that's so simple. But see, that's where we miss it because we think, well, we're not. It's not something great. It's not something big. See, that's the reason that we don't see the big things because we miss God in the little things. Because if you come to a place where you can see God in the little things, you start walking, He'll start showing you things. Then He can draw you into big things. He can show you greater things. But if you're not faithful in the little things, He said the little foxes spoil the vines. He said, so if you're not seeing Him move in the little things, see, He said, everybody praises God for the future. What He's going to do then. What He's done in the past. But they miss Him right now. How is He working in the midst? He's working in the little things. The things that you miss, that we overlook. See, that's where God's at. That's the reason I pray, God, help me out. When I come to church, don't let me just come to church. Don't let me just listen to be listening. But Lord, show me what I need. What is it that you want me to hear? It is, and you know, it doesn't matter who is preaching or who, you know, because it's what the Lord wants to show you. I can't remember who it was, and they were talking about might have been Brother Keith Brown when he was here, talking about there was two top singers that made him want to sing, good ones and bad ones. You know, you look at some people, you know, some of the things that God has showed me in the Word has been some of the greatest messages and some of the worst messages. Because you know what? It takes somebody that preaches something that's wrong.
Come on, amen.
Because when something is preached that's wrong, when you hear something that's off, and then you sit there and you know, I've had things that's like, what? Did he really say that? And then you got to go back and you got to think about it. Something just didn't sit right, and you're trying to figure out. And there's been times I'm like, you know, Lord, I don't, you know, because it takes a while, but something caught you, you know, you catch that. And sometimes it takes a while before that becomes clear to you. And sometimes things just pop off the page at you. You'll catch things. And somebody's preaching things, and you'll see things open right up, and you'll say, well, that's just, thus saith the Lord. You can see that just true, just clear as a bell. It's just perfect. But see, it takes those things, because when it comes down, you'll catch those things, because He's trying to show you things. Because some people, they just, They don't catch them. Because some people, as we said, some people don't have any discernment. They just swallow anything. They're not catching what God has to say. Because they say, well, Brother Brown, you know, God sent a prophet to Brother Branham. And just as Brother Dale was speaking of a prophet, you know, if he take you to another God, doesn't matter what he does, you got to watch what he says. See if it lines up. You know, that's one thing about the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he came and started preaching, you know, he went back to the Old Testament and started bringing up what the Old Testament had to say to show you Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because he said Christ laid all the way through the Old Testament. Everything that was in the Old Testament taught Christ. See, and so, like I said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and look. And what did Brother Branham do? He come back and said, I preach the same thing Paul preached. You know, many times, and I started looking this up, trying to figure out, see different things. You know, Brother Branham, that's one of the things he always done, because he said, I'm a typologist. You know, and that's where he'd always go back to the Old Testament and pick things up. And he would bring things from the Old Testament and bring things right in. And he would show you the same thing that Paul preached. Because the Old Testament had it. So that's one of the things that stands out about marriage and divorce. You know, he said, Moses gave a grace. Yeah, it blew my mind. He said, Moses gave a grace. Paul gave a grace. And then he had a grace to give. Because it was thus saith the Lord. Here he was bringing all the way through the Scripture. See, the people thinking he added something or he changed something. No, he laid in the Scripture the whole time. But it took a prophet, a seer, someone that could look into the Scripture and see these things. Because God had to come and show it. And it's laid in the Scripture all this time. And yet we miss it.
Right.
See, we have been given the eyesight.
Amen.
But you've got to use it.
Right.
See, we've got to come to a place that we're using this eyesight. See, we're a blessed people.
Amen.
We are so blessed that what God has given us.
Right.
Because, you know, you think all the way through time, people have desired to look at what and see what we have seen.
Right.
And what we have heard. Because it has been laid before us.
Right.
And see, Paul continuing on here, speaking of these things. See, we have had a ministry. Because as it continue on in the scripture, there was a foundation that's been laid. He said it was a foundation. He says, a wise master builder. He laid a foundation. And then he goes on and speaks, and he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Amen.
See, there's been a foundation laid for us. And see, it's been, and we've got to come back to that same foundation. Because there's only one foundation, and that's Christ. Because he said, because upon this rock I'll build my church. And anybody that's in that church has got to go back to that same rock, that same foundation to build upon. And then here in the scripture, we're continuing on in chapter 3. He says, verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, he said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, if you look at some of these things that Paul speaks of here, excuse me, because he talks about hay, wood, or stubble, you know, they're all consumed by fire. But the first two, you know, gold and silver, see, they can be refined by fire. So you hear something about these things? He said, because that's what you want to do with gold. You want to put it in the fire because it becomes greater, because you're able to get all the impurity, all the dross and everything out of it. But he said, every man's work shall be made manifest. So you've got to come back to that foundation, because whatever's built upon that foundation will be made manifest.
Amen.
And you've got to come back to that. And every man has to come back and build on what he said. Because, you know, the Apostle Paul said, even if I come back and preach something different than what I've already preached, he said, let me be accursed. Because I've got to build on my own foundation. Because, you know, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because it wasn't Paul preaching a message, because it wasn't Paul laying the foundation, but it was Christ laying the foundation through Paul. And so when Paul was laying upon it, see, he realized this foundation came through God, so everybody has to come back to this same foundation.
Yep, right.
See, that's the reason that a lot of people, as Brother Ram said, why there's not a lot of new, genuine new births, is because people aren't coming back to the same foundation. Because we're not coming back to what Paul preached.
Right.
Because they just allow anything to happen. And even when Brother Branham came back and preached the new birth and came back to exactly what Paul said it was, and brought it out of the scripture to understand what the new birth was, and then they turn around and say, well, Brother Branham didn't preach the new birth.
Yeah. Right.
Brother Branham preached something different.
Yeah.
And every single time, and you know, you look at, was it Future Home? He covers the same thing in birth pains.
Yep.
So you think about it. And I think there was some one other place that I was reading where Brother Ram was speaking on the same thing. So, you know, everybody says, well, after the seals, he preached something different. But there was, and he said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, there's two different places where he preached exactly what he preached the whole time. And even in, Future Home, he actually said, you know, I've always preached this. So, I mean, just based on what he said, he understood what he was talking about. The problem is people don't see. They're in a state of confusion. But see, we come back and we have to build on that same foundation.
Right.
Because Brother Branham come back, you know, he said we had to come back and preach everything that Paul preached. And it started with a new birth, but it was a continuation of opening of the Word to come back to the same place that he had preached.
Yeah. Right.
That we can build on that Brother Branham could come and bring his message.
Right.
So it had to come back to the beginning. And so we see that he says, if every man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He said, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Right.
See, if we realize who we are, we have one promise. We have a promise. We have a guarantee.
Right.
He said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, and not just come, but come.
Right.
See, it's not that he just come down, but that he has to come down in you.
Right.
See, it becomes an indwelling. Then he said, he shall lead you and guide you in all truth.
Right.
See, it has to become that indwelling,
right,
so that he can lead you, guide you all things.
Right.
Because he said, know you not that ye are the temple of God? And not just we are the temple of God, but we are the temple of God as a body of Christ. We are the temple of God, because it's all collectively together. Because we all work together. We all come into this body as one. So we make up the temple of God. And that's what he's talking about. He continues on speaking of coming into this place where he said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Yes, Lord.
Right. See, when people speak of that, see, it goes back to what I was speaking of earlier. It goes back to the unconfessed sin.
Right.
And that's what makes the ministry so important. Because, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody was preaching, and they were talking about, why do pastors let things go on in the church? We see things, and you know, why don't they just jump up there and just pound that thing?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, maybe he's waiting on the Lord. You know, it's just like Brother Branham, you know, in Questions and Answers, talking on marriage and divorce. And, you know, he waited until the time that he was given a commission to do that.
Right.
See, because, you know, he said he'd tear all the churches apart.
Right.
You know, I mean, he knew what was laid in the Scripture, but he had to come to a time that he could preach that.
Right.
Yep, and it's not that it's not seen in the church. But maybe they have to wait for a time that things have to come into place that something can be said, or so, you know, that things will come into place. Then it's not that the, you know, the pastor comes to the pulpit and see, because I'm not in that position, and I thank God I'm not in that position. But he is. And Brother Dale has to come to that place. He has to figure out what God wants him to do. Because the worst mistake that Brother Dale could do is get up here and try to do things in his own self. And because God wants us to come to a place that we have wisdom. And that's one of the things. You've got to wait on him for that he can give you that. To give you the answer, because it all has to come work together into the plan. So we wonder, unconfessed sin. See, he said you make a church, you bitterly fail. All the things that you can do that you can hinder somebody. See, and just like that man that was the preacher. You know, Brother Ram was talking about, you know, just hung it up, walked away.
Yeah, right.
Said, if I love the Lord, I'd preach. But I don't. Threw up his card and threw it in the trash. You've done.
Yeah.
Finished. And Brother Ram said the one true sign that showed that he was of God,
exactly,
that he was a son of God, was that God took him.
Exactly.
Wouldn't allow him to act that way.
Right. Right.
And see, If we're going to have unconfessed sin, and what I was going to say earlier, if you go into a church and unconfessed sin is sits there forever, just years and years and years, just things just sit. You watch it. I've seen it happen too many times
right.
to not to know it. that you watch churches, and if a pastor would turn a blind eye to sin in a church, I said, you wait and see. He'll start preaching false doctrine. That false, because you wait, you let the devil have a strong, a foothold anywhere. Next thing you know, you're washed away. Because you give him a little bit, and he'll take a mile. That's the reason that the Scripture tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. You can't even have the appearance of it. If it looks bad, even if it's not bad, if it looks bad, don't have it. We are the temple of God.
Amen.
And so we have to know how to act in front of each other and in front of the world. It's not just how we act at church around believers. It's how we act in front of the world. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that they never handed out a message book. They've never quoted a scripture. They've never said anything. But their life is their sermon.
Right, yeah.
Their life is their testimony.
Right.
The life that they live. And I believe it was Brother Biscoe was the one that was speaking of how his father came to be saved was a lady, and I think it was two girls. Her two daughters were there. And you know, he saw the life that that woman lived. You know, Brother Branham said, just be salty. And I believe it was Brother Biscoe's dad. And he was so moved by that woman, by the life that she lived, and those two kids, that he came to her and said, how do I be saved? Because he was so moved by her testimony. And it wasn't that she was out trying to preach the gospel. She lived it.
Amen.
And that's what's more important is to live the life.
Right.
Is that if we can die daily and let him live through us. That if he's the one living the life, then everybody ought to see Jesus Christ. It's not that we have to get up and preach it. It ought to be lived. That's my whole desire. Is that people can see Jesus Christ in me. I don't want to be one that Brother Dale has to beat on. Has to step on my toes. I want to be the one that the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because if the Holy Ghost is dwelling in me, then I want to be so yielded to Him that I can line up and I don't have to be told. Because you know, that is a growth development.
Amen.
Because I was preaching one time and there was a little boy sitting with his mama. And I said, you know, there comes a time in your life, I said, when you get big enough, when you got a runny nose, you can wipe your own nose.
Yeah. Right.
You don't need somebody to wipe it for you.
Yeah.
And that mama turned that little boy and he went. So obviously, he had got to the point where his mama was trying to tell him the same thing. He was old enough to wipe his own nose. And sometimes that's the way it is. You know, we got, as they say, it's time to put on our big boy pants.
Right, right.
You know, we've got to grow up. We've got to come to a place that if he's dwelling inside of us, then he's going to bring us to that place.
Yeah, right.
But we've got to come to that place.
Right.
We need that. We don't need to be waiting any longer because we never know how much longer we're going to be here.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to get out of here. Because if you see the condition of the world today, you know, how many people would believe that we'd be in the world be in the condition that it is in today? You know, How many? You know, you go back and look and see the founders of this nation that we love so much. I thank God I'm an American. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I've only been in two other countries. I've been in Jamaica and I've been in Mexico. And I thank God when I cross back into the United States. I went, you know, because, you know, if I didn't know where the international border was between the United States and Mexico, I'd have never known I was in Mexico. Because a long time before I got there, me and a few other folks, we were the only white folks around. And we found out that we didn't, because everybody else was speaking Spanish, and I didn't have no idea where I was at. Because I asked somebody, I said, "We crossed the border yet?" It's like, "No, you'll know when you cross the border." Yeah. Because there's a lot of folks down there in uniforms with guns standing on the line. And over there with dogs and stuff checking cars going back and forth. You know when you reach when you're at the international border. And when I was so glad, I mean, it's nice to go and visit, but I couldn't wait to get back across. When I come back from Jamaica, that lady asked me, said, "Do you got anything to declare?" I said, "I declare I'm an American. I'm glad to be here. I love Jamaica, but I wouldn't want to live there. I love Brother Keith and all of them over there, but I tell you what, I like being here." I was so glad to be home. I just like to have some more of that Jamaican food every now and then to come across or go over there and eat a while. But I'm so glad that God has given me. But who would believe? You think anybody? And you go to Washington, and they've spent. And I'm gonna stop here a little bit. You go to Washington. We've spent millions of dollars, and we've had these great monuments built of these great men. And we have these great big pieces of marble. And we have etched their words on there. You think about that. A $5 bill, we got Abraham Lincoln. And the reason I like Abraham Lincoln, because that's my birthday. We share the same birthday, February 12th, if you didn't know that. So, I have lots of books on. He's always been one of my heroes. But you think about all the things that Abraham Lincoln said. They got marble. Big pieces of marble. All kind of stuff. Etched, everything etched. Books. People go to college, and the only thing they do their entire life, they're a Lincoln historian. They study everything that Abraham Lincoln ever said, every place he ever been, everything he ever done, every medical condition the man ever had. They know it all. And he wrote these words: "You can't make the poor rich by making the rich poor. And you can't help them by taking away from the poor." And that's paraphrasing, but you know what I'm talking about. And he wrote all these things. "You can't strengthen the weak by weakening the strong." And he also wrote, "A house divided against itself can't stand." And all these great words Abraham Lincoln said. But my favorite one is this, and it's a paraphrase, but you can look it up. And he said after this is over with and I've laid down the reins of power, he said, "If I don't have another friend left in this world," he said, "I have one, and he's in me." Amen. I tell you what, that speaks volumes. But you look at Abraham Lincoln. We have all these great things that Abraham Lincoln says. Now, I want you to look up here. We spend money. We've got to preserve everything Abraham Lincoln did. President Lincoln, he was wonderful, wonderful. Yet, he gave us, in his own words, the principles to live by. And you know what? Trample underfoot. We could care less what he had to say. Because you know what? We're going to live how we want to. And you look at things, George Washington. You think of a great man as George Washington. Got a great monument up there. You know, he could have been king. When he was the general of the Continental Army, every man that served under him, they said he loved him so much, they'd have died for him. And all he had to say was, "You know what? I'm going to become a monarch. I'm taking over, and I'm going to be the leader." Do you know what? Who would have stopped him? He had the army behind him. And yet he walked in there. He was such a Christian and such a gentleman. He said, this is what we have fought for. And he laid down that power. And he stepped back. And it was a group of men that came together. He could have been the king. But you know what? He knew what we fought for. And we wanted to have this great nation. And because of what he done and what a great leader he was, that's the reason he became the first president of the United States. And you go back and you read the things that he talked about. And you know what? They could care less. These men that we started out, we had a debt when we got our independence. Do you know it cost us money? And do you know that the first men that came in this country, Alexander Hamilton and those, you know, they were the ones that were working on getting us out of debt. And you know, that was the one thing that we wanted to have in this nation when we started, was ability to pay our own debt. And you know what? We've gotten to the point where now, 200 some odd years later, people are talking about our government defaulting on its loans. Is this government going to have enough money to pay its own bills? You think about all these great men that have lived through time, all the things they've done, and what they have done, and all that they gave, the blood, sweat, and tears, to come to this place, and then see the kind of condition that we're in. Why? Because we walked away from our own principles. And not only is it a natural condition, it's a spiritual condition. See, we have walked away from our own principles. We had a spirit. I mean, because you go back and look, all those men, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all Thomas Jefferson, the different ones, and even Ben Franklin. You know, I was reading some stuff about Ben Franklin. You know, he was a little weird, but he was a praying man. But you look and see what these men done, and see the condition that we're in. But you know, God, you know, Brother Branham told us. God told him. You know, we turned God down. We didn't want him. So we're in the condition that we're in. You know, Brother Branham said that the only, you know, everybody in the world would be insane. The whole world would be insane except for the bride. And that's all, you have to be insane. There's you can't be anything else but insane when you decide we're going to run this government, and we're going to spend more money than we can ever take in.
Yeah.
But you know, we're still going to believe this thing will work out. And they said, well, you know, we're not going to run this train off the cliff. Listen, it's heading off the cliff, and it don't matter.
Amen.
Because guess what? The brake is broke. But you see, and who would believe this country would have gotten this condition? But it has. And you know what? It's just another sign to tell us that it's coming to an end. The only thing, because a lot of these things, it's just details. It's just things happening, but we know what's going to take place in the end. Because it's just to get us ready. Because there's nothing in this world that's going to stand except for the Word.
Amen.
He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away.
Amen.
You see, there's no other place to stand but on the rock.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that I have a place to stand. That we have this place, that I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
That I know that I have been birthed. That I know that I have been sealed. Because, you know, that is worth more to me than anything. To know that. To have that assurance. That's the greatest thing in the world. But you know what? There's more than what we have now. And the thing is for us to stand up and walk and claim what's ours. Amen. You love Him? Let's all stand. I'm glad that I know where I'm going one of these days.
Amen.
I tell you. Thank the Lord. I must have a bigger head than everybody else in here. Well, it feels like it's squeezing the back of my head. I just moved it out and now I can feel better. I must have bigger ears too or something. I don't know. Squeezing my head.
Red Book 15:4. When the redeemed are gathered in, amen.
Amen.
I am thinking
of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, they're washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. A great procession over all the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Music, oh, I'm singing, or that city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, they're washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. The angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
The Savior
will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. Then we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. I feel like traveling on. Pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright. Sun outshine, I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright. Traveling on. Let traveling on, which flames devour or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on and on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on and on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen. I'll share one other thing with you, and then I'll quit. I don't know. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 2 here, I was reading this, and verse 2:12 says, "For we now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Do you know what? And it was very interesting. Do you know what the word compare means? Compare doesn't mean like we would think of comparing apples and oranges,
right.
Looking at two different things.
Right.
Actually, it means to look at something, and in the Greek, it also means to combine.
Right.
And I was going to bring this out, and it really struck me. He says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know the scripture that came to my mind? He said, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good." Comparing spiritual things with spirituals. Not just comparing things, but holding on to that which is good. Which is, you see that is true, because when he says spiritual, these things are freely given to us. And he said comparing, you look at it, you discern it, and then you hold on to it. Because he said line upon line, precept upon precept. And it's all built together. But I'm so glad that these things are given to us freely. And then we have to receive them. Because it's not our fault if we don't receive them, because they're freely given to us.
Amen.
Number two.
Amen.
As I journey
through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson foe, many arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice.
Cares all past, hopeless, ever to rejoice.
Heavenly Father, Jesus, Lord, we send this prayer call to Sister Dale, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe that You'll make everything well and whole. Lord, we know that You've sent Your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. And Lord, we know that You're there with her right now. And Lord, we know that You'll just lead, Lord, the doctors to take care of all things. Lord, that You'll just move in every direction that needs to be moved. Lord, that You'll do, that You'll make everything well and perfect. And we believe and we thank You for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please, though I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. A billows rise from the mighty deep. When my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Some glad morning,
when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory.
I can't die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of life have grown, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a home where joy should never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. I can die, hallelujah.
Appreciate the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. As we get ready to leave this evening, we'll just want to make sure we don't all hearts and minds clear before we go. Just remember Sister Dale. We know that the Lord takes care of all things. He's taking care of her too. So all this time, every time she's had a problem, the Lord's always watched over her. And just remember the different ones and ones that'll be traveling, and that this weekend, y'all pray for all them, all the cooks, the chefs, and all the campers, and everybody at the bottle washers, and all the counselors, and all the ones that'll be there, and all the ministers. And keep them in prayer.
That's right.
All things will be done for His honor and glory.
Amen.
Amen. So as we go this evening, ask Brother Colley, if he doesn't mind, dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a privilege, Lord, to be in your house together with the saints, Lord, like Christians. Lord, we pray that you just let us continue to labor together, loving one another, Lord, bearing each other's weakness, Lord, God, may God, we thank you for your service tonight. Lord, just send out to us, bring your word. Lord, that these words will find a place in our hearts, God, we will be strong. Lord, we know that there's none other but you, Lord, that will give us the desire in our hearts, Father. We just thank you for us so greatly. Wherever we are, let us remember one another. Lord Jesus, take us and be guided. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Dismissed.
Played a day he did not owe. I owe.